Wisdom from the spirit world, up next on the Paranormal Podcast.
This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harold and so glad to be with you once again. Can you obtain wisdom from those who have passed over, your loved ones? Well, our guest today says the answer is yes. I'm talking about Carol Obley, and she's been a longtime spiritual medium and author, and she has a book out recently called Wisdom from the Spirit World, Life Teachings on Love, Forgiveness, Purpose, and Finding Peace. And we're so glad to have her with us once again. Carol, welcome back to the show. It's been too long.
Hey, yes, thanks for having me again, Jim. I love being on your show.
So let me ask you, I mean, I think that sometimes when people think about spirit mediums, they just kind of like skim the surface. They say, I'm going to have a reading. This will be like a fun little thing. Not really expecting to get anything serious in my life. I think some people do expect something serious and impactful, but a lot of people are just, it's like a parlor game. Can you explain why, you know, it's really a lot more than that?
Yeah, well, mediumship is one tool in the toolbox of healing. There are many, you know, psychotherapy, going out into nature, you know, meditation. But specifically with the value of mediumship in the grief journey is to provide evidence that that life of that deceased loved one continues. And the second facet of mediumship that I believe is often overlooked is that of the recipient of the reading truly obtaining an inner knowing that their soul is also eternal and is part of the divine force that most people call God. You know, I call that force spirit. You can call it whatever you like. But those, I would say, are the two main reasons that mediumship is an important healing tool. I'm extremely genuine and transparent in the way that I talk about mediumship. And I always tell people it is not a cure-all. It is one tool in the toolbox. There are many. So I never look at it or have considered it as, you know, the ultimate healing for grief. It is one of several. And it's never coming from the medium herself. It's the medium is simply the conduit. So it's coming from that higher source, again, whatever you want to call that, spirit, God, you know, higher power, it doesn't matter. It's all the same.
So I love in the first part of this book, you had section one, part one, you signed up for this. What do you mean by you signed up for this?
Yeah, well, what it means is, that on a soul level, and I'm emphasizing soul, in contrast to conscious, meaning from the personality or the ego, on a soul level, we all sort of, I say, sign up or plan the impending incarnation. And especially what we are going to do as far as our general lessons. In all of the books I've written, I term these blueprints. Some mediums call them contracts. I call them blueprints because they are much more, I should say, lenient, perhaps, than signing on the dotted line, like with a contract. Meaning that we can meet those particular lessons or experiences in various ways, depending upon our choice, which is a reality, you know, free will. We all have that, even though I know there's certain people who believe we don't. I can tell you my experience in 30 years of being a medium is that we most certainly do. So that would be the blueprint or what we sign up for before we come here.
Now, you talk about the Akashic Records, and a lot of people might not be aware of this or understand what it is. Can you talk about the Akashic Records and their importance?
Yeah, I also call them the Akashic Files. It's the same thing. The other term, and Edgar Cayce, the famous American psychic during the 20s and 30s when he did his readings, called it God's Book of Life. And it is a book of life in that each soul has one of these. There's also a collective Akashic, meaning all of human consciousness. And so the individual book of life or Akashic is sort of a subset. If we go back to our geometry days, you know, with those interlocking circles, the big one would be human collective consciousness, the Akashic file, which is consists of all of humanity's thoughts and actions since the beginning of time, whenever that was. The individuals is sort of a subset of that. And if you think of a giant tape recorder, that's what the Akashic is. And so it's constantly recording every thought that we have, every relationship that we have, every action that we take. That's the Akashic. And it's forever moving. So, you know, it exists in the ethers. That's what Akashic really means, is it's from the Sanskrit, and it means ethers. And so these records or files, if you will, are stored in the subconscious of each human being.
I want to talk about these karmic lessons a little bit. Now, does that mean, okay, let's say that I'm in one life, and let's say I'm a boss, I'm a manager of people, and this could have been many years ago or present day. And maybe I don't treat my people so well. Maybe I treat them as though they're insignificant underlings. Does that mean in the next life, I'll have a life where I'm the quote underling and I have to kind of suffer under the domination of someone who is the same way I was? Is that what this essentially means? Karmic lessons? Is it that simple or is it more complex than that?
I have found in my work, and that's all I ever talk about on radio and podcasts and when I write books, that there are many possibilities, many opportunities, I should say, to balance karma. So the scenario that you laid out where you kind of become the opposite, that's a possibility. There is also, again, going back to using Cayce, Edgar Cayce, he talked about grace, this thing called grace. So what is that? Well, it's granted by the Creator, by God, by Spirit, so that we don't have to experience what you just laid out, like, oh, okay, I'm going through this, you know, kind of painful experience. But grace would mean that I am presented with opportunities to balance that karma where I treated people badly, or in an arrogant fashion. I'm given these other opportunities to balance that karma. And that's what is called grace. So I don't necessarily have to, go through that same opposite experience. And you are correct, Jim, in saying that karma is not what most people conceive of it. Like, well, you know, I murdered somebody in that lifetime, so, you know, maybe I'm doomed to be killed in this lifetime. It's really not that simple, at least in my experience. There are many layers to it. There are many opportunities for the soul to heal. And all karma means is cause and effect. It's from the natural laws, of which there are seven main natural laws, meaning God's laws. These are immutable principles that will always supersede human-made law. So the law of cause and effect is, in a nutshell, that's karma. What I create returns to me. That could be, it could be good, it could be bad, it could be neutral, but it is always in effect. It's much like gravity. You know, if I push a pencil to the edge of my desk, well, I don't believe in gravity. Is that going to stop that pencil from dropping? And the answer to that is no, because it's a physical law of gravity. It's the same way with natural law. So karma is simply, I produce something and it's going to return to me in one way or another.
So is that what you mean? You say in the book, our power of choice determines the quality of our lives. Is that what you mean?
Bingo. Yes, exactly. And people need to know that in every second, there's a choice. And we only have right now, I mean, this is pretty well known in the metaphysical community, with the power of now. I mean, you know, one of my favorite spiritual teachers, Eckhart Tolle, wrote a book called The Power of Now. And it is true that we can't hold the past in our hand. We can't hold the future in our hand. They are phantoms. What we have is right now. And that is the great common denominator amongst all of us. And children and animals are great teachers of the now, because mm-hmm. they do not have a concept of the past or the future. And until we're a certain age, then we start, you know, having memories of, well, that was in the past, you know, with children. Animals are always in the eternal now. And that's why, in my opinion, they are far more spiritually advanced than we are.
So how do we deal with it? You know, let's say that we have our thoughts on the higher planes. We're trying to be a good person. We're trying to connect spiritually, all of those things. But in a very practical way, we're dealing with someone who is difficult in our life. It could be, as I mentioned before, it could be a boss. It could be a family member. It could be a spouse, a romantic partner. Someone, despite your best efforts, there just seems to be a blockage there. There seems to be a problem. How do we use these spiritual principles to try to push through that and make that relationship work, or maybe make it a relationship we should walk away from? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good point. And interestingly, that's something that has come up in communication with the spirit world many, many times. Out of case files of thousands of readings, there have been many in which the spirit person comes through and communicates from a higher perspective than the ego. Because what you just described is an egoic, you know, situation with that person's personality that perhaps just doesn't mesh with ours. And a lot of times it's from projection. That person's, you know, has issues within themselves, and they end up projecting that, meaning they put it on us or they put it on other people. Interestingly, I've had many communications with the spirit world in which a soul will come through and they will give a message, and the recipient will say, gee, that doesn't sound like my dad. He was always so mean-spirited when he was here. Mm-hmm. You know, and dad's coming through and saying, you know, maybe offering an apology, mm-hmm. forgiveness, maybe saying, I treated you horribly, you know, you turned out really well, despite what I did to you. So there's this higher awareness from that soul perspective. Now, to answer your question, we don't have to wait until we get, you know, until we die to look at things through the lens of our soul. So what we can do in a difficult relationship or difficult situation is to flip the switch into that other source of understanding, which is higher than the ego and higher than the personality. And through that perspective, which is of the higher self, the same thing as the soul, we can make choice from there. Sometimes, I mean, quite frankly, and I'm always honest in interviews and readings, that means detachment from that person. You know, for it doesn't mean we do it with bitterness. It doesn't mean we do it with anger or hatred, but we simply know it's not healthy for us to continue that relationship. And so we can wish that person well. Sometimes we can't do that, Jim, in person. We can do it on a soul level. You know, I've had many clients that they've had to detach from family members, which is quite painful for people. Sometimes people feel like an orphan. Sometimes they feel, you know, that they're an outcast when they have to do something like that to make a choice. But coming from that higher consciousness is, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's always possible to shift into that. And true forgiveness in a spiritual sense means a release of the past. And I discuss that a lot in Wisdom from the Spirit World. I discuss, there's practically a whole chapter on the power of forgiveness. I do consider it a cornerstone of healing.
Something I've figured out just by virtue of living to middle age, and it's interesting how as you progress along, you kind of learn how to do things and you don't know how you learn them, but just time has a way of increasing wisdom. And I hopefully if I'm around 10, 20 years from now, I'll say, boy, when I was in middle age, there's so many things I could have done better. But with hindsight, I look back and say, oh, you had it so wrong. For example, I thought, you know, when I was 30 years old, my career was over. It hadn't even started. But I think distance helps us in figuring things out. Hindsight, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. When you're talking to the spirits, whether it's the spiritual side of a person that's away from the ego, or whether you're talking to those on the other side who can see things from a different perspective, what are common themes that they share with you about things that we as mere humans get wrong? What are some common themes? What kind of things do you hear cropping up time and time again that just as a human race, we seem just to always kind of get a little bit wrong?
Yeah, and that's really what Wisdom from the Spirit World is based on. I woke up one July morning and boom, the idea for the book was there. It's like, this is what you're going to write about. And I found that most of my books have come to me like that, just, you know, very spontaneously, you know, from a higher source. So a couple of the lessons, number one is there is an afterlife. That's the first lesson in the book, because there are people out there who do not believe that we go on after we leave the physical world. And I can tell you 100% with great certainty that yes, we do. So that has come through many times. Another lesson would be the bond of love is eternal. You know, those that we knew and loved here, including beloved pets, are always connected to us through that bond of love, through the heart. Another lesson would be, you know, our wounds do not diminish the light within. There are so many people who I have seen, you know, especially currently, who fall into victimhood, which is extremely disempowering. And in a spiritual sense, true victimhood really does not exist. Now, I say that with a few caveats, like, you know, did anyone consciously choose up to, you know, be abused or, you know, murdered or whatever? Not consciously, but on a soul level, there are certain agreements. There are certain, you know, karmic themes that flow through that. But to live in the past and define ourselves through wounds, through trauma, through bad things that have happened, truly limits our power. So that's a very strong lesson that has come through from those in spirit. Another one is our values go with us. The values that we held here in life, such as honesty, hard work, being connected to family, that people who value family, those go with us when we pass over. Service that we've done. I've heard that time and time again from the spirit world.
But is it true that, I'll use myself as an example because that's the one I know best, that let's say that I have some things now that I feel are pretty good traits. I always joke I'm a compassionate capitalist. I certainly want to make money to support my family and so forth, but I don't want to hurt anybody in the process. And I want to make sure that anybody who, for example, gets our Plus Club or one of the books or merchandise, they get a good value for their money. Is it possible, though, maybe if I go back several lifetimes, I wasn't like that and I evolved to be what I like to think of as an honest guy? Is that the progression? Is that basically the progression?
It could be, again, or it could be that there's been a theme for your soul through multiple lifetimes or several lifetimes, working on the quality of, let's say, integrity. Okay. Sometimes the soul can spend many lifetimes focusing on just one quality. Because remember that the soul knows nothing about time. It is timeless. And I always tell people, because, in the thousands of readings I've done, say that Aunt Matilda comes through and the person will go, well, that was my Aunt Matilda, but she died 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that it doesn't matter. Right. She's still your aunt. There's no time in the spirit world. So it's the same way with the consciousness of the soul, because the soul is immortal. It knows nothing of time. And the reason why we're here, and the only reason that we are here, meaning in the physical dimension, is to evolve spiritually, to return to our creator.
Do you find that ancestors will come to us, maybe even ancestors we didn't know? I'll give you an example. We had a campfire caller recently for my show, Jim Harrell's Campfire. And she said that when she was a kid, she was visited by her grandfather, but her grandfather died when she was a year or two old. She had no living memory of him, but she actually saw him when he was a younger man, and he had a message of comfort for her. So I thought of that immediately when you say souls know no time in particular. Do you see that kind of thing where we are visited by ancestors, even ones we never met or didn't know?
Yes. In fact, through the many readings I've done, often, and I mean, frequently, there can be information that comes through in the reading, in the communication, that recipient of the reading has absolutely no conscious knowledge of, and they have to go look it up, or they talk to someone older in the family, or they delve into family genealogy, and they find that the name of that individual that came through in the reading is there, but they had no conscious knowledge of it. There have been extraordinary examples of that in the readings. And to me, that sort of disproves the phenomena of mind reading. Because if the sitter or the recipient had no conscious knowledge of who that individual was. One example that was very striking to me was a number of years ago. I was doing a group reading. I do a lot of group mediumship. And there was a woman there in the front row. And I said, I forget what the name was, like Charles or something like that. And I said, he says he was a carpenter. And the lady goes, I have no idea who you're talking about. I don't know. I received an email from that woman. I don't know how much longer it was, a couple of months or something. And she said, I found out my grandmother was married twice, and her second husband's name was Charles, and he was a carpenter. And so that's just one example out of many, which, you know, the skeptics will always say, well, you know, cold reading or mind reading. That kind of, you know, those kind of instances kind of blow that out of the water.
Well, I will share an experience, and I'm sure you remember Carol. It had to be over 10 years ago. We were doing a show with you. Yeah. It was audio only. And we had a section where people would call in. Well, I wasn't really trying to pull a trick on you, but I was just trying to see what you would say. And my wife, Dar, called in, but this is before she was active on the shows. You wouldn't have known her name. I don't even know if she used a pseudonym or not. I can't remember. But she certainly and still doesn't have any really social media footprint. She's not a big fan of social media. And she was really looking for a message from her mom, who passed in the year 2001. And you came through, and I don't think there was a lot coming from mom, but you said there's this younger figure, died very young. I'm seeing the name Robert or Bob, and he wanted to say hello. Well, unbeknownst to you, her best friend in high school was named Bob, and unfortunately, he fell victim to suicide quite a few years later, previous to this call. And she was just blown away. I was just blown away because, again, Robert and Bob is a common name, but to have it connected with that person and the suddenness, and it just was, you know, it was like, you know, you sank my battleship moment. You like, boom, you know, you hit it dead on. How often do you find that somebody comes to you and says, I want a message from my mom, from my grandma, and then an uncle shows up? How common is that, mm-hmm. that they get a message, but it's not from who they were hoping or necessarily expecting?
Actually, I can probably count on two hands out of 30 years how many times who the recipient wants to hear from has not come in. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, in most readings that I do, particularly, you know, I do both half hours and hours. In the longer readings, there are usually, you will have several souls that show up. And many times, Jim, many, many times, it's, there could be somebody there for a friend of that recipient that is not having a reading with me. But the spirit person sees the opportunity to come through to get to their loved one through the recipient of the reading. That happens a lot. You know, yes, there are unexpected spirits that will show up. Sometimes people will cross their arms, you know, and go, I don't want to hear from that person because it was a painful relationship. That's happened. And so, you know, I will say what the spirit person wants me to say, and then I will move on to another contact in the spirit world. So, yeah, there are surprise visits, definitely. And sometimes neighbors, you know, the person will go, well, you know, that was my neighbor. You know, we grew up, they were like family to us. Mm-hmm. And so the neighbor is coming through, and then there'll be a little piece of evidence. Like, she's showing me that she would, you know, always bake cakes and bring them over to you and share them, or pies or whatever. And the person will go, yeah, she always did that. So that, again, is supportive of one of the lessons in wisdom from the spirit world, that the bond of love is eternal, you know, that it continues on. And just as we have family and friends here and pet companions here, we can also have those we meet up with them in the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened a lot in readings.
And it's really interesting you mentioned neighbors, because those kind of people are very important in your life. And there was one lady who was a neighbor to my grandmother, and we would visit my grandmother every year for a couple of weeks. And this one neighbor, I never forget, this was down in West Virginia, and she would knock on the door, she'd be, how do, everybody, how do? So now sometimes when I knock on the door, I'll say, this is stuff that happened 40 years ago. I mean, but it made such an impression. And I love the idea that someday I'll be able to see her and say, hey, you know what I did that stuck with me? And those people strike with you. And once you hit middle age, it's really sad, but most of those people are gone. And it's nice that they live on. You tend to think of people who are your family, your direct family, the people you live with, your grandparents, spouses, those kind of thing. But it's also nice to think that you will, again, one day be able to meet up and reunite with those people who are a little more on the periphery, but still very important people in your life. Now, let me ask you this, because obviously a lot of what we talked about today has the theme of reincarnation and those kind of things. And then a lot of people wonder, well, is there a heaven or is there a not so good place? So can you take us through the process of what you believe happens when somebody dies?
Yeah, and I wrote extensively about this in my second book, I'm Still With You, True Stories of Healing Grief Through Spirit Communication. The second chapter is called Death, a Beginning. So it's kind of paradoxical. From the time that we leave one lifetime, and then we go through the life review, and we sit with our spirit team or spirit guides. Most people know them by spirit guides. I call them a team because there's a collaboration. We work together. So we sit with them and we go, okay, what's my next move? You know, what's next? And so we might spend a good bit of time in the spirit world, doing service there, doing whatever. We can engage in hobbies. But then there comes a time where we know that we have to come back to the realm of duality, which is where you and I are right now, the physical realm. Mm-hmm. And so we sit with our spirit team and we talk about and we discern from there, what do I need more experience with? What do I need more work with? I didn't get a B or an A with compassion. So I think that mm-hmm. I need to, go into some situations in which I'm going to have to develop compassion. And so, and we're shown sort of options as far as personality. Is the personality chosen by the soul? Yes, it is. The gender is chosen by the soul. The parents are chosen. The culture is chosen. So for the perfect circumstances that the soul will need to evolve. And, there's no accident there. It's planned out. That's sort of the process. There's time spent in the spirit world in which we're also growing and evolving and progressing. But we also, ultimately, there are certain conditions here in the physical world that don't exist there. For example, we have a body and we can actually learn a lot through our body. We can evolve through the body.
Now, for people wondering, they say, well, this all sounds great, but boy, I don't know if I can access these truths, if I can get to the spiritual level. I'd like to, but I don't know that I can. Can you explain, is this for everybody and really something everybody can work through and work with?
Yeah, I often say if you're a child, you can. In fact, I consider children very spiritually advanced because their ego isn't, this thing that's always on a treadmill, it's not fully developed. So they're very pure. Children are very, very pure. Probably the easiest way to connect with one's soul is through this thing called mindfulness. And it's very simple and it doesn't cost anything and you can do it anywhere. Don't do it if you're driving because, if you close your eyes, you don't want to be doing that when you're driving. But focusing on the breath, Jim, just focusing on the breath, and that stills the mind. The treadmill, I call it the treadmill of the mind. And it really connects you with higher awareness. And most people, you know, think, well, you know, am I going to see something? Am I going to see angels? Am I going to, you know, see my spirit guides? Am I going to see colors? Not necessarily. What you will experience is stillness. Stillness is the soul. Mm-hmm. And most people go, what do you mean? There's nothing there. That's the soul. The soul is not your thoughts. It's what's between the thoughts. That's your spiritual consciousness. So in order to reach that, mindfulness is a very good, very simple technique where you just close your eyes and you focus on your breath. You put all your attention on the breath as it comes in and then as it exits. And do that for about 3 minutes, you know, maybe in the morning, in the evening. It's a reset. You know, we hear mm-hmm. this term used a lot about reset. And I find that when I do that, it actually is a reset in that if you try this, you'll see that it kind of, you know, lessens the stress or where your thoughts were going before you did it. And so it puts you in this fresh space.
So it's always great to have you on the show. You always have so much wisdom. I'm sure that people after watching this are going to say, where can I find more about Carol, her book, everything she does? Could you tell people where they can find you and where they can find your various books, including this latest one, Wisdom from the Spirit World?
Yeah, well, my website is soulvisions.net. And then all of my books are on there. You will not get an autographed copy through Amazon, but it's probably more affordable. I can't, even as the author do that level of discount. However, you can also go through my publisher, which is collectiveinc.com. The imprint, is six books. That is the imprint under collectiveinc.com. And to schedule a session with me, again, that would be through my website, soulvisions.net. All of the books are on Kindle as well.
And I know you have another one coming up in the coming months. So we'll have you back on to talk about that one.
Yay. I'd love to come back. And thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure, Jim.
Carol, it's always great to have you on the show. I appreciate it and continued success.
Thank you.
Always great to catch up with Carol, and thank you for joining us today on the Paranormal Podcast. Now, keep in mind, we also do a video version of this show, of this podcast. You can check that out on my YouTube channel, The Jim Herald. And I don't think many people realize we've been doing this for this year, the whole of this year. Every episode is recorded and put on the YouTube channel. And we're going to be doing something extra special coming up with that idea, maybe incorporating some lives and some of your questions as well. We thank you so much. Please tell your friends about the show. Check out the video. And we thank you so much. Have a great week. Stay safe and stay spooky. Bye-bye.